I'll be 78 tomorrow. I was born in 1939, so you can figure it out. That's 78, isn't it? Thank you. I appreciate it. Now, I want to go and finish what I started last Wednesday night, and the title of it is, He Will Bring You Through. If you have problems, He'll bring you through them. And our scripture is Isaiah 43:2, and New King James says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor the flame scorch you. But I sort of like the NLT a little better. When you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. And, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been a church member, or how long you've been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and how many scriptures you know, at some point, you will face some problems. Anybody found that out? Well, I got a few people that have found that out. You know, financial problems and family problems and problems on the job, relationships, problems with making the right decision. You know, we all face problems. But we need to realize that we were never promised not to have any problems. Now, if you look at John 16:33, I'm doing a little recycling here. So, for if you weren't here last week, John 16:33, Jesus said, "I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." Here, he didn't say you might have a trial or a sorrow. He said you will have. And that's Jesus talking. You know, sometimes people get the mistaken idea that if you start serving God, that everything's going to be all right, never going to have any more problems, and so forth and so on. Probably going to have more problems, because the devil hates anything that has to do with God. So we need to realize it talks about when you pass through the waters. It doesn't say stay there. It says pass through them. It's not a permanent address. He never promised that we wouldn't have problems. That's point number one. You know, Psalms 34:19 says, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And then Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, we're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Here, Paul he's saying, hey, I've been pressed, but I wasn't crushed. I've been perplexed, but I didn't get into despair. He said, I was persecuted, but not forsaken. I was struck down, but not destroyed. You might say, well, you know, Paul said all that, and yet he was still here. Maybe you should be able to look back in your life and say, well, I'm still here. I've cried tears, but I'm still here. I've been disappointed, but I'm still here. I've had days when I didn't know whether I was going to make it or not, but I'm still here. Why? Because God brought you through. And then I talked a lot about that, but number two, then we get into God is with us in the middle of the problem. Number two, God is with us in the middle of the problem. There it is. Okay. Now, Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. I like that, because he said, when you pass through, I'll be there. And actually in Hebrews 13:5, he says, the first part of that scripture says, for he himself said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And it goes on to say, so we may say boldly, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. And then we talked about Psalms 23:4, and I'm going to read it from the NLT. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I'll not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. He didn't say he had never entered a valley here. He said, I'm going to go through the valley. And so we need to understand that. Number three, we dealt with last week. The problem may be big, but God is bigger. It says, and through the rivers they shall not overflow me. There are situations in life when you feel overwhelmed, but God is still there. The bills pile up, but the pressure is on. You get one problem after another, and you begin to wonder, man, what about this? And Paul tells you that there's nothing has overtaken you except such as common to man, and God is faithful. What? God is faithful to help us, to deliver us. Romans 8:31 says, when then shall we say to these things, if God is for us, who can be against us? He didn't say nobody's ever going to be against us. He said, if God's for us, doesn't make any difference, is really what he said. And, you know, here we find that number four, we'll get to that. Sometimes God doesn't take us around the problem. We want him to, but sometimes we go through it. It says when you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. Well, that means you're in the middle of it, right? It didn't say you'll never see the fire. He said when you walk through it. And, of course, we all know the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went in the fiery furnace, but God was in there with them. And so then we get now to number five. This is where I left off last week. Don't let the problem determine your praise. Habakkuk 3:17-18 in the NLT. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop failed, the fields lie empty and barren, even the flocks die in the fields, that's the sheep, the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Man, that sounds sort of, wow, man, everything's going wrong and you're going to rejoice? But that's what we're supposed to do. Anybody can praise God when everything is great. Anybody can. But faith says, I'm going through this. I don't understand it, but God is still God. And he's still the one that's going to carry me through. Even when you don't see the answer, even when you're waiting, you keep praising him because God's working. You may not know it. You may not see it. You may not feel it. But God is working. God is still there. Your praise is not based on the problem. Your praise is based on who God is and what he can and will do. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, Paul is writing this scripture. He's in prison, and he's saying rejoice. He didn't say rejoice when everything works out. He didn't say rejoice when all the circumstances are good. He said, rejoice in the Lord. You know, our joy isn't based on circumstances, our problems, our situations. You know, Circumstances change, but God doesn't. Or doesn't, I should say. I've been down in Texas, and I've gone back to my Texas slang. That's where I was born and raised. People change. God doesn't. Feelings change. God doesn't. You know, here, maybe when Paul wrote this in Philippians, he's remembering back when he and Silas in Acts 16 were in prison. And it says in Acts 16:25, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to the foundations, and all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains fell off of every prisoner, not just Paul and Silas, every prisoner, everybody in the prison. Now, I want you to notice, they praised God before there was ever any outward manifestation. They praised God when they still had the chains on. They praised God because of who he was. And in the middle of their praising, something took place. The earthquake came. They didn't wait till deliverance had come to praise God. They were praising God in the middle of the situation. They praised God before the doors opened. They praised God before the chains fell off. They praised God even though they didn't know what God was going to do. They kept praising him anyway. See, sometimes we want to know what God's going to do before he does it. No, we just keep praising God. He's the one that does it. Our responsibility is to praise him. And it says when they're praising God, suddenly. That means they weren't expecting it. Hello? Suddenly. You know, you don't praise God when the problem's over. You praise him before it ever's over. You praise him in the middle of it. Why are you praising him in the middle of a problem? Because he's faithful. Because he's delivered you before. Because you know that he's working even though you can't see it. You praise him because you understand that the problem is temporary, but God is constant, always the same. And if he was a deliverer in the Old Testament, if he was a deliverer in the New Testament, he is a deliverer today. Anything that we're in, he will take us through. Instead of wringing your hands and, oh my God, why is this happening to me? Start saying, praise God. God, you're faithful. You're the one. You're always there. You've never let me down. Come on now. I got any people with me in the house tonight? You know, it says the other prisoners were listening. I want to zero in on that for just a minute. This microphone's giving me a problem. Okay. I want to say they were listening. You see, sometimes people are watching you in the middle of your problem. They want to know how you're going to handle it. The way you handle that situation means a whole lot more and speaks a whole lot louder than anything you say out of your mouth. Come on now. Now I'm getting down where people live. Ain't it? You know, the greatest witness that you can be is not what you can say, is what they can see how you are living. And you trust God when you're in the middle of a horrible situation. Come on now. I've been there. but I'm going to praise God. Lots of times I've been there, not just this time, lots of times. The reason that we keep praising in the middle of the problem is because we know our God. Remember when Paul was on that pitch and rolling deck of that ship that was about to go under because of the storm? And he said, an angel of the Lord, whose I am and who I serve. Come on now. We need to realize that praise is vitally important. In fact, I got a book out there called The Untapped Power of Praise. I preached several messages about it because actually I did that because I did it years ago, but God said people are not missing it in their believing, in their faith. They're missing it in their praising. You know, after you say to the mountain, be moved, you don't say it, keep saying to the mountain, be moved. You keep praising God because it's done. Well, I don't see it. No, keep praising God anyway. I don't feel it. Keep praising God anyway. If you praise God long enough, you'll get a feeling. Hello. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever sat down and started praying, didn't feel like it, and just praising God, singing and praising God? You didn't want to do it. You didn't feel like it. But after a few minutes, you are in ecstasy. Have you ever been there? I have. I got both hands up. You know. Now, it's very important that we praise God. You see, because not for the situation, because he said there in Romans 8, he said, all things work together for good. Let me tell you what you need to do is to say, hey, I know this problem is not good, and God knows it's not good, but he's going to take it and turn it around and make it for good. That's what you got to get a hold of when you're in the middle of any situation you're in. You know, you got to get a hold of the fact that God's going to turn it around. And that goes back to a series I preached here, three or four years ago? God is a turnaround specialist. I remember that little book. It's a little book they put in. I preached three sermons on it about God. God wants to restore. Come on now. All right, I better get to number six here. That's the last point. Remember what God has already brought you through. Our memory can be a good ally or an enemy. We have to remember what God has brought us through. Sometimes the problem we're facing today causes us to forget yesterday's deliverance when God set us free. I'll go back to, I like David and Goliath because actually, if you really face it down, David is facing the Goliath, which was the enemy of God's people. In fact, David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That means somebody out of the covenant. And the enemy is in covenant with God. God kicked him out. You're in covenant with God. He's coming against you. Hey, you know, and David was very emphatic. He said in 1 Samuel 17:37, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. David had a history with God. Do you have a history with God? Well, then remember it and pull on it. Hello? What he was saying, if God did it then, He'll do it now. You need to sit down and remember what God has done for you. And look at where you were and where you are now. And God has got you there. You know, the singers, the band sang that song. He'll do it again. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. Yeah. Well, I'm not no singer, Billy. I'm sorry. Remember the times that you were going through something and you saw no way out, and God made a way. Come on. Remember the nights that you've cried and didn't think you'd ever get through it, but you're still here. Why? Because God was there to deliver you. You know, in that song, he'll do it again. It says, look where you've been and look where you are now. In other words, man, I can't start thinking about where I was and where I am now without this heaven say, thank you, Jesus. And you should be the same way. You can't think about where you were and where you are now. Many of you, you didn't have a lot. Some of you were like me. I grew up, Dad, out there preaching, but man, we barely getting by. But look what happened. We kept believing God. He kept telling us, you believe in God. Lynette and I got married December the 30th, 1965. And this coming December, that'll be 61 years. I was an associate pastor making $50 a week. We would go to North Park Mall right there in Dallas. It's still there. It's a whole lot larger than it was then, about four times larger. And we would buy we only had enough money to buy two corn dogs and a big Coke with two straws. And we'd sit there, watch people, walk down, look in the window of the store. She'd look at the dresses, and I'd say, hon, if we stay with God, there'll be a day that you can walk in any store and buy anything you want to buy. And she can do that today if she wants to. But she's very frugal. Almost anything has to be on sale before she buys it. But what I'm trying to say, that's where we were. I'm driving a 65 Ford that's falling apart. In fact, I took it over. My uncle, he had been in the automotive business. Actually, he had been vice president of sales of a huge company. Then he came to Dallas, started his own automotive parts and making different parts. And I'd take that thing over to him, and I said, Uncle Pat, I'm having trouble. The last time I took it, he said, son, would you please take this car to the junkyard and pay the man $5 to take it? That's how bad it was. And it was so bad, the valves was so burnt in it and so bad that when it was cold, you had to push it to get it started. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you that know something about motors know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, you know, you don't know what I'm talking about. And the Bible said, let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. No, I'm sorry. I had to say that. See, you got to remember what God brought you through. I pull up in my house and I remember. I just say, thank you, Lord, because I remember that little house that we're staying in. In fact, one of the places where we were staying was a double car garage that had been made into a little apartment. So you can imagine what it was like, and it had a bedroom and a restroom, a little kitchen and a place to eat, and that was it. I mean, a two-car garage that had been turned into a... But you see, that's not where I'm at now. And I can thank God because he brought me through all of that. Hey, was those fun days? Well, no, not really. But I want to tell you what, I was praising God anyway. There was one time that she said, "Hun, when we got married, I turned the finances over to her, and she's taken care of them for 61 years. Don't ask me how much money we got in the bank. I don't know. She pays all the bills. She does that. If I need money, I tell her, I want some money, and she'll give me some. That's all right with me." But she said, "Our disbursements are more than our income this month." And we just said, "All right." I mean, she was the devil. And here's the devil comes when you're in these situations. Oh man, I've got to hurry. It's 7:55. The devil comes and said, "Well, why don't you not pay your tithes and you can catch up next week?" When you do that, you know what? You never catch up. But anyway, she said, "No." And she sat down and wrote out the tithes check before she wrote any other checks out. Because I got paid once a month. And so at the end of the month, we had paid all the bills, and we still had the same $5 left in the bank that we started the first, and when she said we didn't have enough. And you can ask her to this day, she does not know how that happened. I don't either. But we just believe God and praise God through the whole. What I'm trying, I'm talking about me because I know you don't want me to talk about you. But when you believe God and remember what he's done for you in the past, you can, as you get to any problem, you keep believing. You keep saying. Because the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same power, the same Jesus, the same faithfulness, the same grace, the same mercy, the same God. And I like what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:17-18. "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." This testimony of Paul's has three things in it. He could look backward and say, "I was delivered." He could look at the present and say, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me." He looked to the future and said, "The Lord will deliver me." We can say, "Yesterday he delivered me, today he's with me, and tomorrow he'll be delivering me." You may not know when, but he'll deliver you. You may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know whose hand I hold. There's an old song, "I don't know about tomorrow." I forgot. How's it go on? "I live from day to day." Yeah, "I live from day to day. I know who holds my hand." She knows all the old songs because she played and sang them since she was a teenager in her dad's church. I just remember the parts of songs. You may not know what tomorrow holds for you, but you know who holds tomorrow. And we can look at our problems and our situations like David looked at Goliath and said, "I never fought a giant before, but I know what God can do. All of these problems, I know what God can do." You see, you're not staying, you're going through. That's what the Bible says. "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you." In other words, they won't take you under. "When you walk through the fire, you'll be burned. you will not be burned, nor flame scorch you. Notice it says through the rivers, through the fire. He didn't say live in the water. He didn't say you'll die in the fire. He said you'll go through it. You know, tonight maybe you've been going through some things. But don't build your house there and unpack your bags. Don't let, discouragements convince you that that's the end of your story. The valley isn't your destination. You're going through. The fire's not the destination. It's just an obstacle that you're going through. The problem you're going through. Paul said it this way, and we can say it this way. When we're hard-pressed on every side, we won't be crushed. When we're perplexed, we will not go into despair. When we're knocked down, I won't be destroyed. You see, we have the promises of God to stand on, and we keep walking, we keep believing, we keep saying, God did it once, He'll do it again. I don't know what you face, but I know what I face. But I'm telling you how I face it. These points that I go through with you, that's the way I face it. That's the way I've lived for years. The pressure is real. But the peace of God is more real. The battle is real, but the power of God is stronger. The fire may be hot, but remember, the fourth man walks in the fire with you. And when you walk out, you won't be scorched. You won't even smell like fire. Instead of saying, I don't know how I'm going to make it, start going, God will bring me through. When fear says you're not going to make it, say, God will bring me through. When circumstances say there's no way, God will bring me through. When weakness say you don't have enough strength to make it, say, answer with these words, my God, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient. When the enemy reminds you how big the problem is, you remind him how big God is. If you don't have the answer, trust the one who has all the answers. You've been through it before, and you'll come out the same way today. We need to just lift our hands and begin to thank God for who He is and what He is and where we've come from and where we're going. Everybody stand with me tonight. Anybody get anything out of this? We need to declare He'll bring me out. I want you to say this with me. Tonight I declare no problem will ever have the final word. Fear will never have the final word. Circumstances will never have the final word. God will have the final word. And by faith I say, I'm going through and never going under, because I serve a God that will bring me through to victory. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and thank God. You're going through. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't have no singers up here. I was hoping to have somebody. I don't have no singers. All right. Hallelujah. Well, I trust you got something out of this series. Our prayer team is coming into the front right now. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then we want you to know Him before you leave here tonight. If you know what it is to serve Him, but you've sort of messed up and got on a detour, well, you can come back and rededicate your life to God. He is a master restorer. He's a master. He's a turnaround specialist. He'll turn you around and straighten you out. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, that's according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. If any one of those three invitations, if that's you, you come right down here. The ladies over here and the men over here, and they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. If you have anything that you want somebody to pray with you about, you come right down here, they'll pray with you, and we will know that God will see you through and give you the answer. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, right here Sunday morning, we'll be right here. Come believing, come expecting. Okay? Turn around and shake hands with somebody and said, I'm going through. I don't know about you. If you need prayer for any reason, salvation, rededication, Holy Spirit, any other thing, come to the front right now and they'll pray with you.